Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are now in our Bible study segment with our teacher, Connie Stample. Connie, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy. It's good to be here.
Oh, so glad to have you. We're teaching Genesis today, and we're all the way up to Genesis chapter 9 today. And Connie, what will be the overall theme that we'll be learning about?
Well, we're learning more about what God does after the flood, and it's going to be a covenant with Noah. And of course, we remember the rainbow symbol, and so that's going to be what we're going to be hearing about mostly.
Amen. Well, let's do this. I will read the scriptures for today, which is Genesis chapter 9, 1 through 17. It's a little bit larger chunk, and then Connie here will teach. So here's how it starts. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it from man. From this fellow man, I will require a reckoning for life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is in the earth."
Yeah, thank you, Amy. What a beautiful promise of God. And I just want to point out, we're going to talk about the rainbow first, and then we'll go back to the first part of the chapter here. And we find that God is making a covenant with not only Noah and his descendants, but also with every living creature. And he has a universal symbol, the rainbow, which is going to be a constant reminder of God's faithfulness to his people. And, you know, obviously here in Scripture, when it says when God sees the rainbow, he's going to remember. God never forgets, but it's really more for us to have that as a constant sign of who God is. So we notice again that God has now made a covenant. The first time we really have that as a specific thing that God is saying he's going to do, it's a very formal commitment. And obviously this is one of those one-sided covenants because God is doing it all. And it's going to last forever as long as God says it will. And what he's promising really is he's never going to destroy the earth by flood again. Yeah. What we do know, though, is that this earth is being stored up for God's judgment, and it's going to be destroyed in a different way. Do you remember, Amy,
yes,
what that is?
it involves fire. It won't involve water.
Exactly. That's what Peter tells us in the New Testament. And so God is just promising that never again will there be a flood, and there will be the seasons, seed time and harvest and all of that. So that's a blessing. But we're going to find there's a few other things in this portion of Scripture that kind of adds on to or changes a little bit some of what God has said earlier. As we go back up to the beginning of the chapter, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" God said the same words to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And so the earth is now is down to 8 people again, but God is saying, "Fill the earth, multiply." God desires his image bearers to be all over and to show forth his glory through their lives. And then we find out another thing in verse 2, it says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast on the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the flesh in the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. And so once again, Noah and his sons are given dominion over all the living creatures. And here we even have a sense that now the creatures are going to be afraid of him. Mm. And perhaps it's going to be because of what comes next, because what God says next is in verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And so now God has given to man animals to eat. He's able to kill and eat and yes. eat the animals. Whereas back when we were studying with Adam and Eve, God said every green thing should be yours for food. Mm. And so don't know for sure, but it sounds like now this may be the time when they actually start eating meat.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me.
It does, if as we look at what the words say. And then God says, as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. And then in verse 4, he says, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. And interestingly enough, throughout the Hebrew scriptures and the way God tells us, the life of an animal is in its blood. And now that we know a little bit more about medical science, actually, in a sense, life is in the blood because blood is what carries the oxygen. And if you can't breathe in that oxygen and then circulate that oxygen throughout your body, you will not be able to live.
Yes.
And so here God is saying that the life is in the blood. Blood symbolizes the life of an animal. And then he goes on and he says, and for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. And as we think back to the first part of Genesis, we realize God created life. He breathed that life into all the creatures. And then death came because of our sin. And so death is what's unnatural. That's not how God meant us to be. And life is very, very important. We're also going to find out, though, that the blood is going to be what's going to atone for the sin of man, because the animals, as their sacrifice, the shedding of their blood is going to be what God will accept as an atonement, a covering for the sin. Ultimately, though, it's going to be what Jesus Christ is going to do for us. He will die for us. His blood will cover our sin. We will receive his righteousness, and then we will be able to be reconciled to God because of that perfect sacrifice. It's here in Genesis, we see it all over again, and it's so important. But we've got some Hebrew scriptures to look at because it's going to help us understand again how important blood is and how God views it and how important it is that blood needs to cover sin, because the requirement of sin is death. So, Amy, if you would look at that Leviticus 17 passage, that would help us start out what we're going to be teaching here.
Yes, this is verse 11 in Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life.
Okay, and so here we see God considers the lifeblood to be extremely important, and it's going to be given as a gift, actually, as a way to make atonement for man's sin. And then we also know God says here in this passage he's going to require a reckoning. And what we have is an understanding that human life is so important. We are made in God's image, that God is going to judge any man or animal who kills, murders another person. And so in Exodus, we've got two passages where Moses specifically teaches the Israelites what God says. Actually, one is from the Ten Commandments, and one is an expansion of that. But just talking about what it means and how God actually views the importance of human life.
Yeah, Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder.
Exactly. And then even beyond that, Exodus 21:28 tells us, when an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall not be liable. And so God is saying, man or beast, if you kill another person, if you murder them, your life is required of you. And interestingly enough, back here in Genesis, it says, and by man I shall require it. And so now we're finding out that God has given really the authority of judging justly. Mm-hmm. And really, I believe in the context, it makes most sense that there is human government.
Yes.
That has the authority to determine if murder has occurred and to judge and execute judgment on the offender. And it's a good It's helpful for us to understand that this is God's way, but I think it all comes back to that understanding that human life is so incredibly important because God has made us in his image, and we don't have the right to take God's image and destroy it
right.
through death. We also know in the New Testament, God expands on that, and he tells us a little bit more. And so Paul writes to us in Romans and tells us a little bit more about the authority of government figures, of rulers, and how important it is for us to listen to them and respect them and do what they say. So we have Romans 13:4, if you'd read, Amy.
Yes, and ladies, this is actually going to be part of your assignment if you're following along in the notes on our website. It says, "For he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer."
Right. And so hopefully as we think through this lesson and we see God's promises to Noah and further instructions, he's given us more instructions than he gave initially to Adam, we'll find out that God desires order and he desires justice, and he has given the responsibility for carrying out that judgment to human authorities. And hopefully it'll help us kind of understand a little bit about what should be our response to the government over us.
All right. Lots to talk about with this lesson. Thank you so much, Connie. When we come back, Nancy's going to be back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what you just heard. We'll be right back.